Let's hear the word of God as it is written in 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 1 to 20. It is found on page 523 of the Old Testament section. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served as Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him that the girl from Israel has said, "By all means, go," the king of Aram replies. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent his message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to meet me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much then more than when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to the other God but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down and he is leaning on my arm, I have to bow down there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master was too easy on David, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." This is the word of God. Praise be to him.
It's a privilege for me to be here, to be sharing the word of God with you, the saints of the Lord. The story that was done for children, that was lovely and good. Let me just add two little bit more details to that story, and then we'll see what do we learn from this story. So here we have few characters in this story. One of them, actually two of them that are not named, are this little girl and the servant. And they sort of seems to be in the right place to change the whole story around. So who is this little girl? An unknown? What has happened? She is one whose parents were probably killed because she was taken as a slave. Probably in front of her, probably just snatched away from family, taken to a different country, serving in a family, probably without any hope ever to return to her home. Could have been very bitter if wanted to be. Good enough reasons for her to be bitter and kind of thinking of how she could take revenge or not to do any good in that house. But it seems like she has been so good that this little girl was trusted by this commander and his family to the extent, if we move to this next character of Naaman, that he's going to an enemy country where the raiders of his country have won over probably several times and have humiliated the nation of Israel. And now he has to go and ask something from them. And yet he is willing to go and bow down there, the country they have won so many times over. What might have been the life of this girl in this family? How was it possible? Then we see another character that enters the story, and that is the king. Busy in his business, lot of troubles from morning till evening for a king to settle down. And then this letter arrives from another king. "Okay, here I send my servant, heal him." Not a very nice letter to do, because king is not there to heal anybody. However, the girl in the house of Naaman knew that there is a prophet in Samaria who can heal. And the king in Samaria does not seem to have an idea, or does not seem to be believing or trusting that he could have said the same thing to Naaman. That's fine, you have come here, that's okay. We have a prophet here in this city. Let me send you there, guide you to reach there. Now when I look at these characters and stories, my thoughts go to the wise men who arrived in Jerusalem seeking for the king who was to be born. And some of these big people knew exactly where he was to be born. They opened the books and said, yeah, yeah, we know. He'll be born in Bethlehem. But none of them walked those 10 kilometers or 12 kilometers of journey to show them where Bethlehem was. The king seems to be too busy to either acknowledge or understand about his own people, about his own country, or anything to do with God. Then we have Elisha, the big person, and there Naaman finally reaches because Elisha had called him and said, I'm here, send him here, that way. And there a little bit of confrontation between Naaman and Elisha, not face to face. Naaman had come with his own understanding. He's a big commander, famous guy, that Elisha will walk out, welcome him, wave his hand. A very big detail is given how he expected this thing to happen. But what does Elisha say? Go take a bath, you'll be okay. Strange, isn't it? Such a big guy is there. You should come out, welcome him and do all the good things. But then who will have the glory? The thing is not just for Naaman to be healed or Elisha to be recognized as prophet, but God to have glory. Go and take bath. Then this another servant comes in between. When Naaman is so angry that he wants to return with his problem, the same problem he came in and that he wants to return, he says, if the prophet told you to do something great, you would have done. And most people in the name of religion do that in this world. But when he tells you something so simple, why don't you do? Now, as a Christian and as pastor, one thing that I have faced that is difficult is to tell people that they don't need to do anything for their salvation. Jesus did everything, and in India at least, where the mindset of religion is that you have to walk miles bare feet, or you have to roll down on the way to reach the God, appease the God, or you have to do certain very harsh, tough things, and then you tell them, Jesus saves you. What do I have to do? Nothing. Just believe. You know, that's the most difficult thing, at least in Indian context, to convince people that they don't have to do anything to be saved. If you tell something to do, they'll probably believe it easy. Now, another side of the story, here Naaman is going with about 400 kilos of silver. I was just roughly calculating about 72 kilos of gold and 10 pairs of not ordinary clothes, definitely very precious clothes. He's almost going out to buy his healing. How many times in our world people pay for the prayers and people charge for the prayers? So many preachers, so many people, it all revolves around money. In India, we have a certain kind of people. The amount you pay, the closer you get to the great guy who will pray for you. All that goes in the name of religion. Now, these are some facts about and the story I just wanted to add to what was told to children. But let's come to this fact. What does God want from you and from me? We have this story in Bible not just to read history. We have this story in Bible to let us know where do we fall in this story. Why are we here? What is God intending us to do? What glory does God want to bring to His name from who you are here today? I sometimes thought about it like that. When I came to know Jesus, as I was just sharing with you, the whole idea of being in Christ and that commitment and all those things were of a very different level. Then went through, now it's about 40 years that I have been, or Jesus has brought me to Him in Him. And I look at the 40 years back and I see that roller coaster thing, and at times the life has not gone so straight. I'm not so proud of those events in life. And I feel, what if I would have died at that moment? Would I be there? The assurance of salvation, yes, I understand, is there. But just humanly speaking on that. And I feel, what if Jesus would have taken me up at that moment, that very moment, first one, where you know all of that, nothing else but Jesus, I would have been probably greater. Why are we still here in this world when it would have been beautiful? The day we believed in Jesus, He would have just called home. Because I think each and every one's of our life is full of those roller coasters. We may not be all proud of every moment that we have lived. In any case, why should I live here? Melbourne is a beautiful town, but not as good as heaven. I think heaven is much, much better. Then why should you live in Melbourne or anywhere on earth? It will be beautiful to be there with Christ in heaven. But He has still left you and me here to go through all the pain, to go through all the troubles, to go through all those things. Sometimes we appreciate and most of the time we don't in our world. And He is still not calling us home. Then there must be something He has left you and me here to do. Your and my life could be could have reasons. The girl was not bitter, but could have enough reasons to be bitter. We could point out things in our life and say, I don't understand why that happened in my life. I don't feel like saying good things or feeling good about my life because that. We could have a huge list. But I think I'll find my list much less than this girl could have probably pointed out. My list will be much shorter. I'll have many less things to say than this little girl could have said. And yet, she knew that very fact that God did exist, although His country lost to another one. And she was a slave without any hope ever to return back to her family. And she could still say, if my master could go. She had that conviction that this great guy would believe in the words of this little girl. Now, what is our life like here? What is our conviction to say to our neighbors, to the people in our workplace, to the people among whom we move around, whether we are small kids or grown-ups or anywhere. What if you could come to know Jesus? What if you just knew about Jesus? Your trouble may not be done away completely, as we know, but God will help you to understand. Now, that is possible only if the love of Christ so flows in our heart. Otherwise, we won't be able to do that. If the conviction of the gospel, that assurance, so deep in our heart, then only we will be able to say. Now, all of us can agree that almost every neighborhood, almost every person around us goes through certain of those times where they need somebody to assure them. But do they find you close enough or trusting enough to open up? Or would your conviction to some extent be good enough for them to believe what we say? There is one story that happened with one of my friends, the real story. They had, like this church next door, house next door, a couple living. They were old and they have tried gospelizing them, preaching to them many, many times, but they would just refuse to listen to. And one day, like here the little children were listening to, one of that little kid just walked out, went to that house and said, "If you don't believe in Jesus, you'll go to hell." Very kind of a scary statement, but that really happened. And they came to church, they believed. They are there in that church. You never know what will change somebody's heart. But you can always say what you believe and what you heard. Jesus loves me and he loves you. Simple statement. Somebody may find their peace in that statement because they don't feel loved. The world is so much given into their own selfish things. That word love has lost its meaning in our world. But truthfully shared and demonstrated, Jesus loves you could change somebody's life, even from a small kid. Even from a small kid. How much more from those who have this conviction and grown up with that? But our problem is, most of the time, the problem the king had. Too busy in his job. And we can expect, a king's job is not easy. You have so many people come up every day to you with their problems, with criticism, with all the threats from neighboring kingdoms and everything. And that's where this king took the letter. "You're seeking to fight with me. Your people have already raided my country so many times. You're just finding another excuse." How many times at our jobs, in our places, in our neighborhood, as simple as our neighbors coming around and saying we have not taken very positively. Too busy. None of my business. You know? It's your problem. You go, you deal with it. We know the solution. We are the only ones who know the solution to the ills of this world. We are the only ones who know Christ, who know hope, that there is only one hope, and that is in Christ for everything. If somebody is finding difficult to just feel like being there in this world, the love of Christ may give them hope and change their heart. Someone who is just finding out of place here in this world, who doesn't understand why everything is going wrong around me. There are people who think like that. The assurance in Christ and Christ in their life and from your life, that simple gospel may bring hope and change their life. But most of the time we are too busy. We are too busy in our work, in our families. We are too busy in everything else which is valid for our life, but give time for gospel. We could be people like who feel insignificant. This another servant of Naaman. When your master is angry, and if you bother them, they might just take out their sword and that's the end of your life. That's quite possible. In those days, that was very much possible. Naaman didn't have to account for it, how many he killed. He could have been the next one. And yet, taking the chance and saying, if you were told something great to do, you would have done it, isn't it? Why not this simple thing? Even that simple turning around can become instrumental to change somebody's life. What did God do? He changed his life, as it is written, that his skin became like a baby. He was just seeking the cure for his leprosy, but God gave him much more. And many times, if I think of myself and others, we are many times seeking the glory that Elisha would not. Not that he was great or anyone, but he set an kind of example to bring glory to God by not walking out and honoring the great men, but to do what God has desired him to do. Bring glory to God. Now, let me read this closing statements. When one experiences God and his love deep into their soul, they become bereft of negativity, revenge or greed for any favor. The little girl displays that. Her simple and deep relationship with God, she displays in her conviction. What if my master would have just gone there? Elisha displays the authority and honor for God rather than honor for men. Another character that I have not yet spoken of, Gehazi. Let me extract as much as possible from the work we have done. Many times, our life becomes like that also. So who are we here today? It's not my job. I'm too busy to run my family, to run my business, my job. Or do we have time and understanding to seize those opportunities that God is bringing to you to serve Him? Maybe you are the person to directly deal with it. Maybe you are the person just to guide them to the right direction. That's okay. God will use you as long as you are available. You may be the person who has all the things to say that this happened to me and it's all bad. Like this girl, negativity and all those things. But you still may be the person who have such a conviction to say. Or you may be that unknown servant just mentioned in one line to say just one sentence. What if? But let us not be the people like king. Too busy. That's what I titled this sermon for today, Serving God and Seizing the Opportunity. Serving God, that all of us would like to say. Seizing the opportunity, not very common. We all want to, and we all feel like good about it, that we serve. But opportunities just go and slip under our eyes. Let's look for them. There are two contrasts here we see. The little girl and the king in one contrast. So here is this little girl out and yet remembers the truth, the conviction that there is a prophet who serves the true God and he can do it. And there is the king, right king of that nation where the prophet is, and yet not having that conviction to share that faith. Then we have the contrast of Elisha and Gehazi. This is not the time to receive gifts or to think of money or think of any benefit or profit or authority or whatever, but to bring glory to God. And then there is Gehazi. My master let him go easy. I'm going to extract whatever is possible from this opportunity, from this event. The world out there, deep in their misery and curse, is looking for someone to direct them to Christ. Everywhere. In my country, in my city. Everywhere. There are people. So they can find their healing, their wellness, not just a body, but their soul. Would you be in service to direct them to Christ or demonstrate the honor and love of Christ to the people around you? It is Christ that wholesomely heals both body and soul. But are you here to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Here I am. Help me to see the opportunities that you bring my way. Help me. Give me that conviction to say, even if I don't understand everything, go this way, you'll find peace. Know Christ and you'll find salvation, meaning for your life. God bless you.